by Pastor Kevin Roberts is brought to you by the Bethany EC Church in Tamaqua, Pennsylvania.
If you go on the internet, there are many different things that you might be able to find there. And if you were searching your genealogy, if you were searching for your ancestors, if you will, you can do a lot of things and find individuals. And there is one such search that I found this week that says, locate my father. Locate my father states that they understand that there are many people in the world who would like to find their biological father as well as other relatives, and they will search for your father directly or for other people that might even be related to your father. The offer states that when you cannot locate the person you are looking for, if they can't find your father, they will seek to find people that knew your father or knew the last location where he was. And the ad says that as soon as they receive your payment of $109.99, they will proceed with that search. If you would like more information, you can pay an additional $50. And they will even tell you what kind of automobile is registered to him and all kinds of things. It makes us be a little suspicious when we read something like that, does it not? And we wonder, I wondered as I read it, I wonder how many times people pay $109.99 to get a report that says we could not locate him at all. Makes us a little suspicious, at least it did me. Well, according to Jesus, there is a simpler way to determine one's father. Our actions are an indicator as to who our father is. Let me repeat that. Our actions are an indicator as to who our father is. Now, what do I mean by that? We'll turn to John chapter 8. As you're turning there, I need to tell you that last week we began the first part of this message, the first part of this text, and we talked about freedom in Christ and what it means to be free. We said that freedom in Christ is not free to do as we please, but it's freed from the penalty of sin and then free to live our lives in a way that pleases the Lord. That's real Christian freedom. As I continue this text, there's a dialogue that's going on with Jesus about, you know, who your father is and what your father did. And that's how I decided, after much grumbling and bewailing, that's how I decided to present this particular passage. So let's take a look at it. We're going to bite off what we did last week. We're not going to labor there, and then we're going to continue through the end of the chapter. So in verse 31, it says, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants. Yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from my Father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, then you would love me, for I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet, because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. The Jews answered him, "Aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed?" "I am not possessed by a demon," said Jesus, "but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon-possessed. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." "You are not yet 50 years old," the Jews said to him, "and you have seen Abraham?" "I tell you the truth," Jesus said, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. Today, we pick up again, and we find that Jesus is in the temple courts. He was in the temple area, and he was teaching. And he was addressing a group of followers, and it says it was individuals who had believed in him, and yet I would say individuals who allegedly professed to believe in him because they really lacked understanding and really doubted who he was. But in their dialogue, as they went back and forth, they responded saying that they were children of Abraham and that they were never slaves. And we talked a little bit last week about their lack of memory in regard to that. As I labored through this passage back and forth, I really came up with three possible lineages, or three possibilities as to who one's father might be. And rather than try to go through this dialogue line by line, we're going to go through it in that order. And I need to warn you, it jumps all over the place. But you'll be able to handle it, and I'll do my best to handle it as well. So if you grab your outline, three possibilities. Possibility number one says, Abraham is your father. Now, how is it that Jesus says one would know if Abraham was their father? There's two subpoints under each of these items, and subpoint number one says, those who are children of Abraham do the things Abraham did. In verse 39, they said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the things Abraham did. The people traced their genealogy, they traced their ancestry back to Abraham. And they said, he is our father. But Jesus said, okay, but if he was really your father, then you would do the things that he did. Now, whether or not we like to admit it, sometimes we do the things that we've learned from other people. And for our context here, even from our parents. Now, when I look at my children, in addition to inheriting my wonderful good looks, I would hope that, you know, I would say that they learned to know who God is, and they learned how to love Him. I would say that perhaps they learned my work ethic as they all get up and go to work and work hard and barely stop working sometimes. I would say that they learned a concern and a compassion for others. When I look at my children as a whole, I would say that those are characteristics that are present that I hope they learned from me. Then, of course, there's those things that they learned from me that I'd rather not see displayed in their life, but for the sake of time, we're not going to mention those. The problem is that although they claim to be children of Abraham, their actions prove contrary. In verse 40, Jesus said, "As it is, you are determined to kill me. I am a man who has told you the truth. You want to kill me? Abraham did not do such things." They would not accept the truth. And so Jesus concludes, how could they be children of Abraham? Well, let's take a look at Abraham. And in point number two says, Abraham believed and obeyed God. That's who Abraham was. He believed and he obeyed God. Jump to verse 56, because Jesus brings him up again. And it says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad." All the way back in the book of Genesis, God promised that he would send one that would deliver from the penalty of sin, which is death. He promised that he would send one to reverse that penalty. And in Genesis 12, 1 through 4, God spoke directly to Abraham. This is what he said. "The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. So what can we say about Abraham? God spoke, Abraham believed, and Abraham acted on his belief in obedience. He believed and he obeyed. The New Testament speaks about Abraham as well. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Verse 18, same chapter. "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations. Just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. "By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going." Now, let me help you a little bit. Abraham was saved from the penalty of sin by grace through faith in the same way that one is saved from the penalty of sin today. Not by works, but by grace through faith. Jesus said, Abraham looked forward to the day and he rejoiced. Those who were of faith in the Old Testament looked and believed in the promise that was to come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the redemption that he brings. Since the cross, since Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, we are saved from the penalty of sin and granted eternal life as we look back to the cross and we believe that that was on our behalf. And so Jesus said, Abraham looked and he rejoiced. God said, go to the land that I am sending you to, and Abraham went. That simple. No questions asked. God spoke, Abraham obeyed. Jesus said, this was Abraham. This is the way he behaved. Now, how is it that you behave? In spite of the fact that you might be able to trace your physical ancestry back to Abraham, you people are nothing like him. He obeyed the voice of God. You are rejecting the voice of God. They desired to kill the promised one, the one that Abraham looked to and rejoiced. This is farther proof, though. I would doubt that most of us would not try to trace our ancestry back to Abraham, although we might. The real issue, however, is sometimes people try to trace their spiritual heritage back to other individuals and claim it for their own. Think about this. Do you know that you've been forgiven for your sin? Oh, yes. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were both Christians. Well, are you a Christian? Well, my parents were both Christians. Have you ever talked to people like that? Have you ever been in those conversations where people will claim the faith of their ancestors as their own, and it's not really theirs at all? That's really what was going on here. They didn't believe. They weren't believing the promise that Abraham believed. They weren't living the life that Abraham lived. They didn't even understand what Abraham did or what Abraham believed. But they made a claim. But their faith was invalid. It's important for us to understand that we cannot claim faith for ourselves that belonged to someone else. Growing up in a Christian home does not make us a Christian. Not at all. Everyone must make that individual choice themselves. Need to know that. Okay. Who's your father? They said Abraham. Next. Possibility number two. The devil is your father. How dare he say that? When I wrote this out, I thought, somebody's going to say that. So I'll just say it right now. The devil's your father. Okay? I'm not talking to you. That's right, Frank. Okay. Point number one, we'll just get right into it. Those who are children of the devil reject the truth. In verse 38, Jesus is speaking. He says, I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. And later, he determines who their father was. Listen, in verse 43, or let's start with 42, he says, if God were your father, you would love me, for I come from God and now am here. I have not come of my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. What were they trying to do to him? What did they want to do to Jesus? They wanted to stone him. They wanted to murder him. And he says that Satan, or the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. You're doing the things that your father did. Now, can you imagine being in a conversation with somebody? He says, you know what? Your father's the devil. That would not be anything from the Dale Carnegie course on how to win friends and influence people. I'm sure that kind of raised a few hairs. They desired to kill him, and if they didn't desire to kill him before, I'm sure they really wanted to kill him after he said that. But the reason that they were, that the claim was made is because what? They rejected Jesus. They rejected what God said. They were not accepting the truth of God. In verse 47, Jesus explains why they do not hear. Let me read that to you. He said, he who belongs to God hears what God says. And the reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Now, remember, spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. I think back as a kid, way back in the dark ages, when I went to Release Time Bible School, which was Good News Club, Child Evangelism Fellowship, they presented the gospel every week. And do you know that I can honestly say it never penetrated? I never really heard it. I heard it, but I didn't really hear it because I didn't understand. And it wasn't until years later, when I was 18 years old, that I heard the gospel. It's like, whoa, that's for me. They're talking about me, and I responded to it. There is a work of the Holy Spirit in one's life to be able to come to an understanding of who God is. In John 16, 13, it says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth." Who guides us in truth? The Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 2, 10, it says, "God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." It is the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God, gives us the understanding of what it means, and helps us to apply it to our lives. They lacked the Holy Spirit. I speak to people every once in a while that will tell me, you know, I've tried to read the Bible so many times, and it was so hard to understand. I couldn't get a word of it. And then after I accepted Christ as my Savior, all of a sudden, when I would read God's Word, it was as if God was speaking directly to me. And I could understand it. And my life began to change because of that. That's because the things of the Spirit are discerned by the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit needs to work in our hearts and lives. Spiritual truth is spiritually discerned. In addition, John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Again, the necessity of the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts to draw us. We would say, well, you know, what happened? How did your life change? And sometimes we can see a direct path of how God, through a series of events or individuals, brought one person from one place to another, and the Spirit of God was working in their hearts and drawing them and bringing them to that place of understanding. The Holy Spirit reveals truth. Now, I want to tell you something. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that would say that that Holy Spirit is selective. Some people are privileged to have it, and others are not. But I would say that Jesus came that all might believe, and that his Spirit was poured out, given to the world to convince the world of sin, and that whoever believes will not perish, but will have everlasting life. And so these people rejected Christ probably because they resisted the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I can't imagine being that close in physical proximity of Jesus and not sensing the Holy Spirit working and moving. And they rejected. And so, because they rejected, because they resisted God, Jesus said, "That makes your father the devil." Now, question is, do you believe that? I want to share with you, when I read this over and over again, one of our articles of faith came up in my heart, and I thought, I'm going to share this. If you became a member of this church, somewhere I shared with you the articles of faith. And since that day, you probably have never looked at them, but I'm going to show you Article of Faith 118. Here it is. Speaking of hell, it says, "The incorrigible sinner having rejected Christ and all the offers and opportunities of grace, is without God and without hope in the world, and makes himself a child of Satan. When he dies, his soul awakes to the torment of hell, from which there is no promise or hope of deliverance, but the sentence of everlasting punishment prepared for the devil and his angels. And so, Jesus said, when one rejects Christ, their father is the devil. Our article of faith says, when we reject Christ and all the offers and opportunities of grace, we are without God, and we make ourselves a child of Satan. It is by our choice that one gets to that point. And so, how does a child of Satan or a child of the devil behave? Well, let me try to share that with you. Number two, the devil is a deceiver and a liar. In verse 44, we're jumping around. He says, you belong to your father. You want to carry out his desire. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not hold from the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language. For he is a liar and he is the father of lies. There is no truth in him. He is a liar. Well, I'm going to show you a little bit about that. Don't get nervous on time. The rest is less. But anyway, Genesis 2, 16 and 17, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And then the father of lies comes along, and he spins a nice little lie. In Genesis 3, 1 through 5, it says, now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. What happened? He twisted the truth. He exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Flip that slide back one for me, Kyle. Can you do that? Just one. See that word? One little word. Any. God said, you can eat of every tree except one. Satan said, let me take this out. God said, you must not eat from any tree. What happens when Satan begins to twist the truth of God? We begin to think, what's he keeping from me? Why doesn't God want me to enjoy all these things? Why is God holding that from me? That's not fair. And pretty soon, we are doing the things that we ought not to be doing. And Eve was deceived. She believed the lie. Sin entered the world and all the consequences that came with it. Satan is a deceiver and a liar. The Bible says this about him. He tries to outwit us with his schemes. He masquerades as an angel of light. He displays all kinds of counterfeit miracle signs and wonders. He is a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. He is a deceiver and a liar. So how do his children behave? Guess what they are? Deceitful, and they are liars. Now take a look at our world. Take a look in the place where we live. Many people have exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They have made that which is a lie to be, in their minds, truthful. They have made that which is to be sin celebrated. It doesn't make any sense to me, but it's because they're deceived. People will say that, this isn't really God's word. Some people might say it just contains the word of God. And they try to make it suspect and try to make it imagination of mankind. When reality, it is the word of God. It is breathed by God and given to men as they wrote, as they were moved by the power of the Holy Spirit. Satan is a liar, and those who are his children follow him. A nationwide study was done by a group called Leo Burnett Advertising Agency. And they found that more than 50% of the people in that survey said, truth is not important. Truth is only important for the person who needs to have truth. They said they don't get upset when someone exaggerates the truth, falsifies the truth, fabricates the truth, or misrepresents the truth. And we live in a day that when we pick up a newspaper, we don't know if it's true. We listen to a news program, we wonder if it's true. People tell us something, and we wonder if they're going to carry out what they say. I mean, it's just, there is really an absence of truth in our world. Many people say it's not even wrong to lie. And of course, you know, then we have government officials who will say anything and later say, I misspoke myself, and it's okay. Truth is no longer important to many people. And so, what would we say? Who's their father? Who is their daddy? How do we trace that? Very simple. But you know what else we can say? There are a lot of people in this world who need Jesus. A lot of people in this world that need Jesus. That's why last week was so important. Possibility three. God is your father. Those who are children of God love his son. Jesus says in verse 42, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am now here. Matthew 22, 37. Jesus said, love the Lord with God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You want to know how much you love God? It's how you behave. When you are loving God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, you will seek to please him rather than gratify your sinful self. One cannot say they love God and reject his son. When God is our father, we love him. And for that matter, when God is our father, we love his family. We love his children. John, in 1 John 4, it says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Those who are children of God will love. Why? Because God lives in them and God is a loving God. 1 John 4 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. And whoever does not know God, does not love, does not know God, because God is love. That simple. Number two. Jesus honors his father and obeys him. I made that very clear. Jesus did what God said. He claims God as his father. And he obeys what God tells him to do. Now, in all of these things, and we're going to wind down here. In all of these things, we can sum it up very simple. We can make all kinds of claims as to who our Father is, but our actions speak louder than our words. It's what we see, it's the way we act and behave that really displays who our Father is in a spiritual sense. In our text, Jesus gives us three possibilities. The question at the end says, based on these possibilities, who is your Father? Well, there are those, the first possibility is children of Abraham. That could be somebody here saying, well, you know, I'm okay with God because my mother or my father or my grandmother was a devout believer and they're with the Lord and I know that I'm okay because of them. Not true. There are those who would choose to reject God reject his offer of forgiveness and eternal life, which is a free gift, and in so doing, they make themselves a child of the devil. One way to reverse that: accept the truth of who God is and what God has said. Accept his offer of forgiveness. And that brings us to the third possibility, a child of God. A child of God is one who has placed their faith in God's Son. The child of God is one who has become part of God's family. We cannot do that because somebody else in our genealogy was part of God's family. We cannot do that because we sit among those who claim to be part of God's family in church. We can only become part of God's family by placing our faith in God's Son. There is just that way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." One way. Say, "Pastor, oh, that's so bigoted." Oh, yeah, but it's true. It's absolutely true that Jesus is the one way. So here's what we're going to do. I want you to bow your head, and I want you to just take a minute and talk to God. I want you to ask yourself, based on your actions, based on the reality of what is in your heart, who's your Father? Maybe you've been trusting in the faith of others to help you. Maybe you've been rejecting the truth of what God says. And just maybe it's time for you to believe what Jesus says. Would you admit in the quietness of your heart that you don't do everything right all the time? That you reject God at times? You disobey his commands? Would you tell God in the quietness of your heart that you're sorry for those things that you do that displease him? Would you admit that you need his help in overcoming that? Would you, in the quietness of your heart, ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, from the penalty of that sin, to be your Savior? And then would you commit to following him? Would you commit to being a Christ follower, receiving his Holy Spirit and allowing his Holy Spirit to shape and transform your life? Now, I need to ask you a question. While everybody's eyes are still closed and everybody's head is bowed, if here in this place today you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and you have become one of God's children, that he is your Father, would you show me by just raising your hand for me? Just slip it up, slip it down when you're done. Is there anyone else? Anyone else? Okay. Father, by an act of faith, we place our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we believe by faith, wonderful things happen in our lives. You accept us into your family. You make us one of your children. You give us your Holy Spirit, and you begin to transform our lives. And Lord Jesus, we thank you and we praise you for that marvelous work that you have done this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
The staff and members of Bethany EC Church would like to thank you for downloading one of our online sermons. We hope that this sermon was a blessing to you. We want to encourage you to visit our church's website at www.bethanyec.org to learn more about our church and our involvement in making Christ known. These downloadable sermons are part of our continuing online ministries. If you feel moved to contribute to our online ministries, please visit our website at bethanyec.org, where you will find a donate button. Support of any amount will help to ensure future free online sermons from Bethany EC Church. We hope you will join us again next week, and until then, may God bless you.